joy, things that this world, when all is said and done, cannot offer us. The world may offer us maybe temporary happiness or things to maybe find temporary contentment in, but it is only through Christ that we can see and experience true hope, true peace that lasts, and a joy that is present no matter what the circumstances of life may bring before us. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to know Jesus Christ. What does it mean to know Him, truly know Him as our Lord? Because I think a lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people know about God. But that doesn't mean that they know who He is. That doesn't mean that they know Him in a real and personal way. So we're going to continue on through the book of Philippians, and we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 7, which is where we kind of left off with last time, and we're going to take that all the way through verse 11. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And this is the word of God. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank You again for Your word. Thank You, God, that You gather us together to worship You and to praise You. The songs that we sing, the truth, Lord, knowing You, there's no greater thing. I pray that those words would ring true. I pray for those of us here who may be going through difficult times or have difficult circumstances at hand in life. I pray that You would strengthen them and give them the hope and the peace and the joy that only You can give to them. I pray that everyone here would see that truly the answer is always found in You, knowing You, Jesus. So help us know You more. Not just know about You or about Your attributes or more about who You are in a maybe almost even an impersonal way. But God, would You meet us here today? Would You speak into our hearts, each one of us, in the way that we need to hear this message? Through the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You speak? In Your name we pray. Amen. You know, if you want to know something these days, it's actually really easy, right? There's kind of a whole world of knowledge literally at our fingertips. You know, there was, however, a time when you didn't have all that wealth of information right at your fingertips. There was a time, I still remember back in my middle school days, you know, I'd have an argument or a debate with one of my friends, and, you know, we'd kind of like be discussing, well, who's right and who's wrong, and, you know, it always kind of ended up with one of us saying, hey, you want to bet, you know, and then there wasn't the internet, right, and there wasn't cell phones, so what we have to do is we'd have to table the discussion. It's like, you want to bet? Okay, and then we have to wait till we get home, and maybe one of us had an encyclopedia set, so we'd go and kind of research, like, oh, who's right and who's wrong? And then finally, when you figured out the answer, you could be like, hey, I told you so, right? Call them on the phone, at home. And then the internet came around, and, you know, for the young ones here, you know, you've never experienced, you know, what it means to really wait to get online, okay? I mean, nowadays people are like, oh man, that page took like 30 seconds to load. What's going on? Let me tell you, there was once a time where you could only connect to the internet through your phone, right? And you know, the torturous sounds still ring in my head. Ding, 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 psh. And then finally, it's like trying to connect. And then, you know, wait another few minutes and then you're finally online. But yeah, finally you'd get on and you'd be able to kind of look, and now you have all this information right before you. If you wanted to know about just about anything, you could search for it online. So nowadays with smartphones, with tablets, and all these different things that we have just have access. You know, and now we can even talk to our phones, right? They're called smartphones. Apparently the ones that we had before weren't, you know, were the dumb phones, right? We got the smartphones now. And you can actually even talk. And, you know, if I say, hey, Siri, right? If you have an iPhone, you say, hey, Siri. And then you ask it a question, and it'll actually answer you. And so it's just whatever you want to know, you can ask. I mean, sometimes you might be like, I cannot help you with that, right? But then you're like, oh, man. And then you got to kind of go search it on your phone. But, you know, I kind of got to thinking about that. What does it mean to know something? What does it mean to really know something as opposed to just knowing about something? If you were to ask Siri, how tall is the Empire State Building in New York City? It would probably respond with the fact, the Empire State Building is 1,454 feet when measured to the tip of the antenna. But if we had someone here sitting in our congregation that had been there before, that had experienced what it was like, maybe even the architect of the building, or someone who was part of the construction of that building, if we were to ask them, tell me about the Empire State Building, how they might answer you would be far different. They might talk about what it was like to be there, the sight of this monstrous building going up. They might talk to you about the sights and the sounds that they experienced as they were there, as this thing was being built, or maybe even after it was built, to be there and to look out across the city while in that building. You see, there's a difference between just knowing about a lot of facts about something and then actually knowing that thing or experiencing that thing. And I believe that as we look at the passage together today, that's what God wants for us, not just to have this kind of knowledge base. What do you know of God? Oh, God is love. He forgives. He created the world. Not that we would just know all these facts. Yes, they're important, but I believe that God wants for us to not just know a lot about Him. He wants us to truly know Him. You see, there's a big difference there. And so this question of how can we know Him? You see, because Paul says in verse 10, he says, to know Christ, not just about Him, but to experience Him, to understand Him, to live life with Him. That's what He desires. And I believe that's what God desires for us. So how can we truly know Jesus Christ? There's three things that I want to talk about together today. Three things that we can ask God to help us to do. Because we can't just will ourselves to do these things. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit by His grace to help us do these things. The first thing is this, that to experience Christ in a personal way. It's the first thing we're going to talk about. To experience Christ in a personal way. To truly know Jesus, not just about Him. We have to actually experience Him in a personal way. Second thing is this, to understand His righteousness. To know Jesus means to understand His righteousness. And the last thing is to know Jesus, not just about Him, but to know Him, we need to ask God to help us to live in His power, to live in the power of Christ. So let's go ahead and look at that first thing, to experience Christ in a personal way. Verse 7 through 8, let's look at that together. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now, in the previous passage, we remember seeing that Paul, he talked about how he was kind of the Jew of Jews. He had a high pedigree when it came to being a Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Pharisee, so he knew the scriptures very well. He had zeal, and yet it was zeal that he used to persecute Christ. This is before he knew Christ. And so now we find him, and he's talking about all the things that he had worked for and lived for that he counts it as rubbish. It means nothing when compared to what he knows he's gained in Christ. So how did this happen? How does this happen? And we have to actually look into another book. In the book of Acts chapter 9, you don't have to go there now, but it was before Paul came to know Christ. He was someone who Christians feared. They feared him because he was actually on the way, even in Acts chapter 9, he was on the way to persecute believers of Jesus Christ in Damascus. And yet it was on his way to persecuting believers of Jesus Christ that by God's grace, Jesus met Paul where he was at. It wasn't because he had proven himself worthy. It wasn't because he had figured things out about Jesus. No, Jesus needed to meet him in a real way, in a personal way, to let him know, even as he asked the question, not why do you persecute the church, but asking the question, why do you persecute me? You see, Jesus met Paul in a real way. And so now his life has changed forever. You see, how is it that someone who once killed Christians, jailed Christians, is now the forefront of leading Christians and the gospel into the world? It's because he had experienced the changing, life-transforming love and grace of God. Because when Jesus met Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, he wasn't in a place where he deserved any kind of love from God. In fact, what he probably deserved was a good, discipline. What he deserved was, he was an enemy of God. But what he received instead was love. And I believe that changed Paul. And this is why he says, Christ, my Lord. You see, he's now surrendered his life. What he lived for before, that's not him any longer. Now he serves Jesus Christ, the Lord. And it's an interesting thing, this idea of knowing Christ. In the Greek, this word to know is actually ginosko. And it's not just an intellectual understanding of things, but it is a deep and intimate personal way of knowing. So when Paul says here, to know Jesus Christ, my Lord, it's a humble understanding of who God is. And it's an experiential understanding of who God is because he received that grace of Christ in his life. You know, as most of you know, I'm originally from Chicago. So I follow Chicago sports. And one of the teams in Chicago is the Chicago Bulls, okay? And I don't know if you guys know, but there's a very famous basketball player that was on the Chicago Bulls. He was the best player ever in the history of basketball, okay? Some of you young guys might be like, no, that's LeBron James. But come on, let's be real. It's Michael Jordan. He was the best, okay? Yeah, amen. Yeah, can I get an amen, right? Okay. Now, if someone were to ask me, Pastor Josh, do you know Michael Jordan? Well, I would probably answer and say, well, Michael Jordan, well, yeah, I know him. 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals per game, and that was for the length of his career. Now, some of you here in D.C. were able to watch him after he came back when he was an old man, and those years are included in these stats, so it just shows how great he was, that he could come back after 3 years rest, trying to play baseball. Okay, so that's, I don't know what that was. But when he came back, he showed he was the greatest of all time. He's never lost in the NBA Finals. How many has LeBron lost? More than he's won. Okay, just saying that, okay? Jordan has 6 championships to his name. And if you've never seen him play, whether you're younger or older, if you watch him play, it's an amazing thing to see. So if you were to ask me, do I know Michael Jordan? Do you know Michael Jordan, Pastor Jordan? This is what I'd be able to tell you about him. Now, sadly, I've never gotten to meet him or spend time with him or talk to him about life and the things that kind of motivate him and keep him going. But I wonder, if you asked me and I actually had a genuine relationship with Michael Jordan, if my answers would be all about his stats and his accomplishments. I think I'd probably talk a little bit more about the type of person he is, the things that we have done together or experienced together. Like, you see, there's a difference between knowing a lot about someone and actually knowing them. And I share this because I think a lot of us, I'm not saying just here at CCC, but a lot of Christians treat God kind of almost just like he sports knowledge. When we say we know God, it means, you know, we know he created the world. It means, especially around Christmas time, well, yeah, I know it has something to do with Jesus, you know. We can maybe even point to verses and things in the Bible that talk about who God is. But to truly know him, it means to experience who he is in a personal relationship. Not just, hey, yeah, I believe there's a God. Oh, yeah, I believe that there must have been some higher power that created the world. No, what does it mean to know God? It means to experience Christ the Lord. And so that's what I hope for us, you know, that we would not treat our faith as an intellectual exercise or something just about knowledge. You know, there's people who know lots about the Bible but still don't have faith in Jesus. Did you know that? There's many even biblical scholars that are in academia that know a lot about the Bible, but they still don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so God does not want a whole bunch of people that know a lot about the Bible but don't know him. So let's experience Christ in a real way. And to do that, we need to allow for God to humble us, to meet us where we're at. Maybe you're in a place that was like Saul or Paul, where you're not living right. Maybe you're here on a Sunday and you put on a good face, but maybe throughout the week you know that you're not living for the Lord. Allow God to meet you by his grace. Allow Christ to work in your heart. Experience his grace and love and his forgiveness, and your life will never be the same. Second thing to know Jesus, you have to understand his righteousness. Understand his righteousness. This is what it says in verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, this is a super important part of the gospel. What it means to know his righteousness, to understand his righteousness. Because when we think about the word righteousness, oftentimes we do just think about the actions that we make. Do I go to church? Do I give my tithe and offering? Do I say hello? Do I smile? Am I nice to everyone? Am I generally a good person that obeys the laws? Because in the world, that would be considered someone as righteous, or that person is living a good life. Now, here's the problem, is that true righteousness, apart from Christ, there is no such thing. True righteousness can only come from Jesus Christ. I mean, think about who Jesus spoke to and oftentimes rebuked most in his ministry. Who was it? It was the Pharisees who considered themselves to be righteous. Because why? Outwardly, they were doing all of the things that people would say, wow, those Pharisees, those teachers of the law, they are holy. But they missed the whole point and actually cast burden on those that they were supposed to lead and serve. Because it was not about serving others. It wasn't about Christ's righteousness or God's righteousness. It was about their own building up. I'm following the law to the T, therefore I am righteous. And what God wants us to know is that to know Christ as our Lord, it means to know his righteousness. Because when we are in the business of building up our own righteousness, you're going to miss out on the Lord. When we're so busy trying to prove to other people that we are righteous, you're going to miss out on the Lord. We have to learn how to understand his righteousness, that it's not about what we do or what we are able to accomplish, but it is about what Christ has accomplished on our behalf upon the cross. That he lived the perfect life that we could not live, and then he gave himself up for us all. Now, this is something that I like to say that reminds us about his righteousness, is this. When you are a forgiven child of God, when you are given his righteousness, you can never do enough good to make God love you more. You can never do enough good to make God love you more. On the flip side, you can never do enough wrong when you are a forgiven child of God, given His righteousness by what He's done. You can never do enough wrong to make God love you less. Did you guys hear that? Do we believe that? I think sometimes we still work on this kind of scale in our minds that works on our righteousness. We say, oh, I haven't been good this week. God must be disappointed. God must love me a little less. And maybe on a week where we've read the Bible every day, we've prayed every, we're like, wow, God must love me more because I've been doing more righteous things. And I say to you, I'm not against faithful obedience and doing your best as a Christian, but let's never get it twisted in our hearts or in our minds that we are building up our own righteousness or that it's about what we are doing or have done or accomplished. Remember, His righteousness was accomplished by Him alone, Jesus Christ, upon the cross in His death and resurrection. So He has loved you already completely. He can't love you anymore. He loved you enough to give His life for you upon the cross. And He'll never love you less. You are infinitely paid for. The righteousness that you did not deserve, you now have in your life. Just think about that. When you understand His righteousness, you're going to know Him more. You're going to understand Him more deeply. Let's stop working under the law and our own righteousness standards or what we believe to be right. Let's look at Christ and know and understand His righteousness. Amen? Last thing is this, live in Christ's power. Okay? Live in Christ's power. Now, in verse 10 through 11, it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So knowing Christ has a lot to do with knowing His power. And here Paul says it very clearly, the power of His resurrection. And what is resurrection? Is what once was dead is now alive. So to live in Christ's power means to live in the power of knowing who you are as a resurrected child of God, being born again for a new purpose, for a greater purpose, for the only true purpose that we as people were created for. Now, when I talk with people, and this is by no means a judgment on people, but when I talk with a lot of people, I get this sense oftentimes that even as believers of Jesus Christ, many people are actually not living in such a way they're living in Christ's power, but many people living in ways where they feel so defeated by the things of this world. And I don't want to take away from difficult circumstances. I don't want to take away from the reality that life is hard. Things happen in life that sometimes we can't understand. We might even ask God, how is this happening to me? I'm trying to be faithful to You, and yet all these things are seemingly going wrong, and I empathize with You. There's brokenness in this world. There's things that happen. But don't live in a defeated way. You are not defeated. You are not a victim of this world. You are a victor in the Lord. Amen? There's power in the resurrection of Christ. And you know what? Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has been given the power of the Holy Spirit that is with you right now. God of the universe residing in you, the Holy Spirit. And when you know that and understand that, I hope and pray that the next time that you feel defeated or down, that you reflect on who He is and you say, Lord, give me Your grace to live in Your power. Remind me that You have accomplished on my behalf something that I could not do, resurrection from the dead. That I was once a dead sinner, lost in the darkness, and that You, the light of the world, came and shone through in my heart and has changed my life forever. Who I am, my very essence has changed because of the power of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, and he took our sin and shame, if he had just died and it just the story ended there, he would have been nothing more than a martyr. But Jesus was not a martyr. He was God, the Word of God become flesh, come into the world. And so when he died on our behalf, but then when he rose again on the third day, it proved once and for all who he was. And it accomplished and secured for us a victorious life in him. And that doesn't mean that, you know, the name it and claim it kind of thing, like, yeah, I want this, God, in your name I claim this. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm saying we have been claimed by the blood of Christ, by the love of Jesus Christ. And so we live in such a way where we are a blessing to others. And when we go through difficulty, we depend on him and we live in the power of Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us and that we too have new life in him. We have new life. Live out that life of faith in the power of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing here is, man, if there's someone who knows suffering, you know, Paul went through a lot of suffering. And his suffering was for the Lord. I mean, some of us go through suffering, and sometimes it's our fault. Like, we did something dumb, and so now we're suffering. That's a consequence. But Paul, a lot of the suffering that he goes through is really, truly for the sake of Christ and the gospel, preaching the gospel. But it's an interesting thing that we talk about living in Christ's power, and then we talk about suffering. Because we don't put those things together. We say, well, if we're living in Christ's power, shouldn't there be no suffering? And that's actually what some pastors will preach, isn't it? If you truly are living victoriously in Christ, then you won't suffer financial loss. You won't suffer physical loss. You won't suffer this and that. No, no, no. The reality is you will have suffering. And sometimes, even as Paul says, if I have to suffer that I might know the Lord a little bit more deeply, then it is worth it. If I have to go through discomfort, but I get to know a little bit more about my Jesus, my Lord, then it is worth it. How many of us can say that, honestly? I had to ask myself the same question. If you were given the choice to live in comfort for the rest of your life here on earth, or discomfort but getting to know Jesus more, what would you choose? Just think about that for a moment. I think our initial feeling will be, oh, I would choose comfort. I don't like suffering. Who likes suffering? Look at Paul. He says to know, to share in his sufferings. I mean, there's a positive reality to when we suffer with Christ. When because of our faith, we may be ostracized. Because of our faith, maybe our friends might look at us differently. Because of our faith, other people might advance in our workplaces where we feel that we should have been. And yet some of those sufferings, if it's for the Lord, you will know him more deeply. I promise you that. And it is worth it to know the Lord. It is worth it to go deeply, more intimately into who he is. So live in the power of Christ. You know, I think even when we think about heaven, when we think about Jesus coming again, and I know Christmas, you know, it's Christmas and that's, you know, his first coming, and then we're still looking forward to Jesus coming again. I think when we think about heaven, so much of our ideas is still centered around kind of our comfort. Like, you know, some people are saying, well, why do you want to go to heaven? Well, it's paradise. Well, what's paradise? Well, I get to be comfortable. That's what a lot of people really think. They imagine themselves in eternity, like on a beach, sipping on piña coladas, you know, and whatever drink of choice you might have. Chocolate milk, I don't know. But that's not what heaven is. Why is heaven heaven? It's because there, you are in the presence of God for eternity, and you actually, guess what? You get to know God more deeply each and every day of your life, and you're unhindered by your sinful desires. You're unhindered by your selfishness. You're unhindered by the kind of circumstances that come in this world. That's why it's heaven. It's not your own comfort. It's because you know Jesus more deeply. That's why heaven is heaven. You know God more. You have an eternity to spend knowing more about who he is, but actually experiencing him on a deep level. And the thing is, here on earth, you can catch a glimpse of that. Maybe not exactly in full, and I can't wait to see that day. But live your life in the power of Christ. Don't live a defeated life. Realize the victory that's already been won for you. Realize the Holy Spirit that resides in you and live in such a way where you depend on Him every time you feel defeated, every time you feel down about things. Bring it before the Lord and say, God, remind me that I'm living in the power of the resurrection. Remind me that I have the Holy Spirit with me. Let's live together in such a way where we know Christ, not just know a lot about Him. I pray that our church would not just be known as people who know a lot about Jesus. I pray that people would know that we know Jesus, and when they interact with us, they're going to get to know Him too, because we're living our life in such a way that shouts out from the rooftops, I have experienced Jesus Christ, His love and His grace. I understand that righteousness comes from Him and not from anything that I could do or that I could earn. He did it for me upon the cross. And I know that my life must be lived in such a way where it understands the victory and the power that He has given through His victory over the cross, sin, and death. So let's live in such a way as we look forward to Christmas service together and we continue to reflect on who Christ is. I ask you, do you know Jesus as your Lord? If you don't, He's always welcoming you. If you do, let's not forget. Let's go deeper each and every day in the Word and prayer, spending time with Him, gathering together like this and worshiping Him. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to respond in prayer. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Not just do you know a lot about Jesus, do you know different facts about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced Him? The forgiveness, the peace, the joy, the hope that comes from knowing Him. My goodness, when you experience that in your life will not be the same. The circumstances around you may stay the same, but you will not be the same. I can promise you that. Would you just take a moment? If you're not a believer, ask God to reveal to you who He is so that you'll know Him. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I want to know You. I know that I'm a sinner. I haven't been living my life in such a way that is pleasing to God. I want to believe. Help me know You. And if you are a believer, please don't neglect your time with the Lord on this earth. Spend time getting to know Him. Stop just leaving Him in some kind of impersonal bubble. Allow for Him to be a part of your life each and every day. That's what it means that He's our Lord. Do you know Jesus? Just pray, Lord, I want to know You more. Help me to know You more. And then I'll close this in prayer. Just take one moment to pray that. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have spoken into our hearts through Your Word today. Lord, for those of us here who feel the tug in our hearts to believe in You as Lord and Savior, I pray that You would, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, speak now, remind and show that Your arms are always open wide, that anyone... Saul was on the way to murder and jail believers of Christ, and that's where You met him, God. And it was Your grace and Your love that changed him forever. So would You speak today for those of us here who may not yet be believers, speak into hearts and change them by Your grace for Your glory. And for those of us here who are believers, God, would you help us to live in the power, the victory that is in Christ Jesus. But I also pray that you would help us to know you in your sufferings. That's not a prayer that we often pray, but God, we pray that as a church, that if there are people who are here suffering for the gospel, God, would you bless them and grow them through difficult times to know you more deeply, to cling to you a little more, to know you in your power and your grace. Lord, just be with us as a church. We love you. We know that you are the leader of this church. Help us to become a people who are led by you each and every day as we know you as Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.